Do you have something you want to improve about yourself? Maybe it's something petty or embarrassing. That's where Personal Best comes in. Personal Best from CBC Podcast is a self-improvement show for people who don't like self-improvement. Vulture calls it a delightfully dorky romp through a world of hidden wants and quiet dreams. And Time Magazine says it's one of the funniest podcasts to hit our earbuds in years. Did they really say that? That is really nice of them. Find Personal Best on CBC Listen or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is a CBC podcast.
Inflation in Canada is too high.
That's just inflation.
I just swallowed a bean. Oh my God. Man, he went right down the hatch.
I have found no examples of ministers failing to act on intelligence.
Because news.
With Gavin Crawford.
I am Gavin Crawford. Welcome to Because News, Canada's funniest news quiz. Air Canada has launched a special air service that only carries horses. The planes will not carry human passengers unless they upgrade to premium equinity. Over the next 30 minutes, we'll be making games out of the news. Let's welcome this week's panel. She is in the running to become the new general manager of the Leafs, but that is a long shot because she does occasionally win. It's returning champion Jan Caruana.
Hi, Canada. So nice to be here.
In the middle chair, he's been enjoying Canada's wild asparagus season. I know, because I stood next to him at the urinal. It's vegetable enthusiast Chris Siddiqui. Hey.
It smells great.
And finally, the only remaining person in Toronto not running for mayor, please welcome playwright Cliff Cardinal.
I'd like to announce that I'm running for mayor.
Oh, no. All right, panel, are you ready?
Yes.
Kind of.
Yes.
Then let's go.
Here we go.
Yeah.
All right, panel, it is now time for an altered lyric. Have a listen to this REM remix and try to figure out which earth-shattering event I am singing about. 6 o'clock TV hour. Will the blonde return to power? Anti-vax, low tax, pushing freedom to the max. Danger to democracy. Can you trust them fiscally? Watch the tension escalate. Catastrophic candidate. Mark a ballot. Mark your doom. Calm down. Calm down. Watch your party crash. Crush. Uh-oh. This means no fear. Cavalier. Oil and gas will disappear. A tournament. A tournament. A tournament of lies. Offer me solutions. Offer me alternatives. And I'll decide. It's the end of the world if you blow it. It's the end of the world if you blow it. It's the end of the world if you blow it. It's on the line.
Michael Stipe, ladies and gentlemen.
This guy good, am I right?
Yeah.
Yowie.
I love the tragically hip.
Okay, so you heard those altered lyrics, panel. A world-ending contest is about to take place here in Canada. For the point, what is this ultimate battle?
It's the ultimate fight between good and evil. It's people who text before they call and people who just call.
Cliff,
is it the floor is lava, Canadian version?
It is not. Chris.
Okay, you mentioned a blonde in there, the blonde. Mm-hmm. I got that. Ballots.
Mm-hmm. Anyone for the steal, Cliff?
Isn't there an election in Alberta?
Indeed there is! Yes, and you will get the point for that. The Edmonton Journal headline reads, "The party destined to win the Alberta election won't be nearly as bad as you fear."
Good.
Comforting headline there. The provincial election is on Monday, and partisans are convinced if their side does not win, Alberta is doomed. After the two leaders squared off in a televised debate, CBC News summed up the arguments as a contest between blank and blank. Fill in the blanks, a contest between the what and the what.
Ooh. The blue blazer and the slightly different blue blazer. They were both wearing these blue blazers. They looked exactly the same, except one was blonde and one was a brunette.
Yes, that is true. Rachel Notley chose not to wear orange. Probably wise.
Yeah.
in Alberta, nice. But wore blue instead. But it was not the blue blazer and the blue blazer. Contest between the what and the what?
The haves and the have-nots. The elite versus the working class. The cowboys versus the working class.
I thought you were going to say Indians.
Yeah, I was going to say that.
But I'm right here.
Also, me too.
Yeah. Yeah.
Same but different.
Was it between the rich and the conceited?
They said it was a contest between the disastrous and the untrustworthy.
Oh.
That makes sense.
Yes.
That's some fighting words.
Well, the spin is, according to the UCP and Danielle Smith, Rachel Notley has a history of raising taxes and running up debt, which would be disastrous for Alberta. Rachel Notley, for her part, claims that Danielle Smith cannot be trusted, especially on her claim that she won't privatize health care.
Right.
According to sources, who won the debate?
There's no winners in politics.
Nerd.
Oh, man.
You're correct, nerd. There was no clear winner.
Oh.
A CBC headline reads, neither leader appeared rattled in the debate. Do zingers zing if nobody zung?
Oh, they should debate again, but this time with cattle prods. People will be zung.
I mean, would watch.
I think it depends, because scientifically, if a zinger gets zanged but no one is zung, the vibrations of the zinger could still be felt in the air and surely get picked up by microphones, etc. However, if we look to Sartre and his point that existence precedes essence, we can assume because the zinger exists doesn't mean it is either essential or meaningful. So I guess the answer is it just depends on if you go with science or philosophy.
It's Alberta, so neither. Alberta has not had an exciting election for
ever.
A long, long time. Well, that's basically correct. Generally, Alberta elections, you pretty much know who's going to win, but not this time. CBC News called this election historically tight.
Mm.
For the point, how tight is it?
Tighter than Jason Kenney's frame of reference.
It's so tight, J-Lo's jeans were like, damn, that's tight.
It is basically too close to call at this point in time. According to most recent polls, Rachel Notley's NDP have a big lead in Edmonton, while Danielle Smith's United Conservative Party has an equally big lead in rural ridings, so it's all going to come down to Calgary.
Oh.
They expect. According to the Edmonton Journal, the NDP needs to break through in some of the province's donut ridings. What is a donut riding?
It's the same thing as a mustache riding, except backwards.
Oh.
Is it where people, like, gather and discuss, like, over coffee and donuts?
No.
Is it the outlying areas surrounding a city?
Oh.
That is correct. It's the semi-rural ridings that encircle Edmonton.
I was close.
Very close. Alberta sometimes gets a reputation for not being super progressive, but
sometimes.
I mean, hey, it's my home province. I have to say, whatever side you're on, this election in Alberta will result in a female premier.
Yeah. Yeah.
It is a contest between two female candidates. So let's check in on how some of the media have covered this historic moment. Several different outlets turned to the same expert to assess the candidates. Who was brought in to make an assessment of the candidates' performances?
Oh, it better be Rex Murphy. Who better than the CBC vampire to lurch up out of his coffin and judge two women.
It was mostly about the debate performances. They brought in an expert to analyze the debate performances of these two female candidates. Who did they bring in?
They brought in, like, Rachel Zoe or someone from, like, What Not to Wear. Someone who was basically like, she looked good, but, like, where were her kids?
Clip?
It was a French figure skating judge.
He just kept being like, noof, noof.
Well, I know. They brought in ChatGPT.
Weirdly, Jen is the closest. They brought in a body language expert. A number of networks had a body language expert analyze the debate performances. Here's what he had to say about Danielle Smith's performance.
She had a great power suit, but her makeup was really shiny. And that's a simple fix with, some powder.
I honestly just left my body.
I mean, there's things to say about Danielle Smith's policies, but, you know, so maybe not as progressive as I was giving them credit for. The body language interpreter wasn't any more policy specific with Rachel Notley. Can you guess what did he have to say about Notley's debate performance?
She looked great, but she just didn't know what to do with her hands.
She shouldn't have been showing her arms like that.
Here is Robin Braley with the correct answer.
Rachel Notley has a problem. Her hair tends to fall down over her face. So what she would do is she'd flip her head, or a couple of times she actually flipped her hair when she thought she was off camera.
I'm flipping my head right now.
I'm flipping this guy something and it's not my hair, babe.
Because News.
With Gavin Crawford.
Canada's funniest news quiz.
I am Gavin Crawford. This is Because News. This week I am joined by panelists Cliff Cardinal, Jan Caruana, and Chris Siddiqui. To hear the whole show, subscribe to our podcast, or live life halfway forever and end up looking back on years of regret. Either way, you do you. Panel, there's always shocking headlines coming across our feeds every week, and then there are the stories you can pretty much see coming three clicks away. So get ready for a new round I call Surprise, Surprise.
Surprise, Surprise!
This is where we dig into some of the week's least surprising headlines. No one was shocked when the government's special rapporteur announced there will be no public inquiry on a certain topic confounding Canadians. What topic apparently does not warrant a public inquiry?
How does Tim Hortons stay in business when they use so much cream cheese on their bagels?
No inquiry.
No inquiry into that. What
incorrect.
The hell is taking so long with the Eglinton LRT?
No, Cliff?
Galen Weston's bank account.
Is it, is Pierre Poilievre ever just a mozzarella stick that came to life when someone put magic glasses on him?
I want to be a real boy!
When I grow up, I'll be prime minister, and I'm gonna act all sinister.
The CBC headline reads, Johnson says no to public inquiry on foreign interference.
Oh.
That's right. No public inquiry into foreign interference. The former governor general was asked to decide if we need a deep dive into China's attempt to influence our elections. Why did the rapporteur decide a public inquiry is not the way to go?
There's more money in forgetting.
Because everything's sexier when it's a secret. He's just not ready to go public, so he's soft launching the inquiry on Instagram. He's just showing a corner of the file folder with the caption, to be continued,
Big things happening.
New boo, who dis?
He said two reasons. It would be a duplication of what he's already doing by looking into it. And also, all the materials are too classified, so if they had a public inquiry, the public would get no answers.
Right. They get all the's and then the black marks.
It'd be like a very long thing of many redacted things.
Right.
What did he recommend we do instead of a public inquiry?
He's going to bring everyone into a room and then turn off the lights. And then whoever stole materials to influence the election can just return them to his desk. And then they'll turn the lights back on and then they'll just never speak of it again.
He suggested we learn to speak Mandarin.
There's an idea. He actually said that it would be a good idea to have public hearings.
Mm. Oh, that's
so no
better.
Public inquiry, just public hearings.
Right.
Yeah.
What's the difference?
I actually know this.
Okay, well, hey, welcome to the quiz show. Jan knows an answer.
I'm afraid Chris is going to call me a nerd.
Well, it'll happen.
Okay.
You got it.
It has something to do with, at a public hearing, you can ask people to testify, but you can't, like, enforce them to testify. Whereas at an inquiry, you can compel testimony. Like, it's more official.
You're correct, nerd.
I did.
Yes, people can be invited to testify in a public hearing, but they can't be forced to testify as they can in an inquiry. And surprise, surprise, the leader of the opposition was not happy about Johnson's recommendation. Can you guess what phrase Pierre Poilievre used to describe David Johnson's relationship with Prime Minister Justin Trudeau?
Brothers from different mothers.
Good guess.
Like, you're in the pocket of the Prime Minister. You're the pickle in the pie.
Pickle in the pie is not
pickle
correct.
In the pie.
Jen?
Did he call them politibros?
Ooh.
Or did he say they have a very special rapporteur?
All a bit too clever. Here is the leader of the opposition.
David Johnson is ski buddy, chalet neighbor, family friend, and member of the Trudeau Foundation. He has no business in this job because it is a fake job that he is incapable of doing impartially.
Ski buddy and chalet neighbor.
I have quite a few chalet neighbors, but they're just mostly people I sit beside us with chalet.
Yeah. Chalet neighbor. Sounds like a fancy neighbor.
You going to finish that sauce?
It just sounds like a way that French people would greet each other in the like, chalet neighbor.
Chalet neighbor.
Chalet.
All right, moving on with surprise, surprise. We're going to shift our focus now south of the border where, surprise, surprise, a certain someone has thrown their hat into the ring to become president, who unsurprisingly announced they will be running for president.
Was it Kanye West?
Oh.
That wouldn't be surprising, but no.
Was it Simu Liu? Because let me tell you, he's not American. He's not a politician, but he could get it.
Does anyone know for real the unsurprising man who announced he will be running for president?
That Ronald DeSantis.
2 years of the most predictable will they, won't they, since Ross and Rachel. Florida Governor Ron DeSantis officially announced his candidacy this week. DeSantis announced his run in an unorthodox way alongside a unique interviewer.
Oh, yeah.
For the point, who landed the exclusive DeSantis scoop?
The Jerry Springer Show.
They brought
him
back.
He's feeling much better.
I mean, I would have watched that. Jen?
Did he do it at Disney World? In front of the It's a Gross World After All, right?
With Goofy? Goofy's his running mate. Yeah.
It was not, Chris. I think you know this.
Yeah, this is great. He did it with old Elon Musketeer. And the old Twitter headquarters somewhere in a toilet bowl.
Oh boy.
That is correct. It was the first time a major candidate has used social media rather than a major TV network to announce they're running for president. And surprise, surprise, how did it go?
Bad.
Terrible. They lost their stream and they couldn't do it.
The headline from MSNBC is Epic Disaster. DeSantis 2024 launch with Elon Musk on Twitter flops.
The wild thing about that is it was a total disaster. Like, they have no sound. They're getting feedback. Users are dropping out. And then they spin it to say, oh, Ron DeSantis broke the internet.
Oh, yeah.
Because everybody wanted to hear. And I was like, I think Elon Musk broke the internet when he fired all the engineers that make the internet work.
Okay, so I got these numbers for you, Gav, from MSNBC, okay? Ron DeSantis had 300,000 people on his stream, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez got way more when she just playing video games on Twitch. And April the giraffe giving birth got four times as many views. 1.2 million views more than Rhonda Krampus.
Make that giraffe president.
Exactly.
BuzzFeed makes a watermelon explode got triple the amount of views.
All right, I get your point. I get your point. I'm Gavin Crawford. This is Because News with Jan Caruana, Chris Siddiqui, and Cliff Cardinal. Cliff's acclaimed stage show is being called a brutally funny, brutally honest take on reconciliation. The Land Acknowledgement, or As You Like It, is playing in Montreal June 1st to 3rd. Allez, allez.
Hi, I'm Jesse Cruikshank.
Jesse Cruikshank.
I host the number one comedy podcast called Phone a Friend.
Girl.
Let's phone a friend.
Not only do I break down the biggest stories in pop culture with guests like Dan Levy and members of NSYNC, I do it with my own personal boy band singing jingles throughout. Because it's my show.
It's your show, girl.
New episodes of Phone a Friend.
Yeah.
Drop Thursdays wherever you get your podcasts.
So work it, girl. Yeah, work it.
Okay, that's enough.
Panel, this week, a big and complicated anniversary was making headlines across the country. For a point, who is carefully celebrating a big anniversary this week?
My parents. It's the anniversary of their divorce.
Oh, yeah. Sorry.
We're a lot happier now.
Does anyone know, for real, the complicated anniversary that is happening this week?
The RCMP are celebrating an anniversary.
The headline from the Vancouver Sun is RCMP grapples with calls for change and shifting role as force turns 150. The RCMP turned 150 on Tuesday, and the headlines were, well, lukewarm. The National Police tried to fun up their celebrations. What did the police force do to celebrate this milestone?
Planted evidence on a poor person.
No, Chris.
Did they do a musical version of Due South?
Would have been interesting. Barbecues. They did some community barbecues.
Oh.
The Canadian Press article wondered if the RCMP should focus on three areas instead of their large, kind of overwhelming mandate. What three areas did the CP article suggest the RCMP could focus on?
Hearts, minds, and kneecaps.
Living, laughing, and loving.
I was going to say congeniality, personality, swimsuit competition.
They've gone with cybercrime, fraud, and human trafficking.
Oh.
I guess making them a kind of FBI North.
That's a show I would watch.
The Royal Canadian Mounted Police were originally created by combining what two forces?
Church and state.
I have the wrong answer. The two forces are the racists and the forces of hate.
No, it's racism and the forces of PR.
That's even better.
All solid guesses. It was the combination of the Royal Northwest Mounted Police and the Dominion Police.
So two polices.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
The RCMP provide policing services to all provinces and territories except Ontario and Quebec. However, this results in many Mounties not being from the communities that they are policing. They're just posted there.
You don't want police in their own communities. That way their own communities don't respect them for personal reasons.
Right. We already know you. We're not going to listen to you.
I know what you got in school.
Yeah.
Let's take a walk, Cardinal.
The strange thing is that the Mounties brand looms so large in Canadiana and yet has very little to do with the actual reality of the RCMP. How did the Stetson-hatted, red-coated figure become so iconic? Let's take a look back at 150 years of Hollywood copaganda. Between the years of 1908 and 1922, Mounties appeared 190 times somewhere. Where did they appear 190 times between 1908 and 1922?
Like the comic strips? Like, read the new Mountie strip.
Was Paul Gross walking the boards at that time? He's not innocent in all of this.
Like silent films?
You are correct, Jen. It was films. In 14 years, there were 190 films made about Mounties.
Wow.
One of Hollywood's most popular Mountie picture was the 1936 film Rosemary, in which Nelson Eddy, a Mountie, does something unusual. What did he do that it was so unusual for a Mountie?
A clean arrest.
He rode a moose.
No, Jen. Oh.
He didn't save the girl tied to the railroad tracks and went, not for me.
Pass.
Help.
No thanks.
No thanks.
What he did was sing.
Oh.
He was a singing Mountie. He sounded like this.
If you're the one, better run away. Son, you are done. Throw your gun away. Here come the Mounties to get the man they're after now.
And that's Drake?
Ha 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 ha
has news.
Panel, it is time for a news clue. This week's news clue comes in the form of a Law and Order episode that never, sadly, made it to air.
Oh, sweet.
Have a listen and see if you can identify the news story hidden in this legalese. In the culinary justice system, animals are severely mistreated by two separate yet equally cruel offenders. The farmers, who stuff them with fat, and the gluttons, who eat them. These are their stories. Panel, ducks and geese were greatly relieved this week after the U.S. Supreme Court refused to hear a case involving ducks and geese. What case did the Supreme Court decline to hear?
This is actually the court case between Johnny Duck and Amber Bird, where things were running afoul.
That is incorrect, Cliff.
Poultrygate. They wanted to know, is a duck's butt waterproof? And can a duck legally claim dual citizenship?
Does anyone know the real answer?
Yes, I believe it was something about frogois. They were like...
Say it again.
Frogois. That's how you say it, right?
I think so.
That's how I say it.
Chalet neighbor.
Chalet, frogois. Un frogois et tu.
You are correct. It is something to do with foie gras. The headline from CNN reads, Supreme Court ducks fight over foie gras, leaving California ban in place.
Oh.
For a point, what is foie gras? What is foie gras?
Foie gras is like a pate made out of duck or goose liver.
That is correct. Yeah. The process of making foie gras is that the duck or geese are force-fed until their liver becomes plump, fatty, and extra large.
Ooh. Nope.
Sounds delicious.
It is what the French call inhumane.
The ban was imposed by a lower California court, but someone was appealing that decision. Who wants foie gras back in California?
Was it Scrooge McDuck?
That would be a hard stance.
Yeah, really.
He hates himself so much.
Give me your liver.
What are the nephews? Huey, Dewey, and Louie?
Yeah.
Not anymore. They're foie gras now.
The rich don't bear those burdens.
Yeah, really.
It is not a Scrooge McDuck. Jan, any idea?
It's farmers. It's farmers, fowl farmers, duck farmers.
Yes, specifically Canadian.
Yes.
Canadian duck and goose farmers would like to see the foie gras ban lifted. This is a no judgment zone, so let me ask you this. Have you ever eaten foie gras? And quick follow up, how do you sleep at night?
No, I've never had it. That's weird. It's gross. Have a Beyond Burger and go to bed. You know?
I've never had foie gras because it does not appeal to me, but I do hate geese.
Oh, you're right. You do have a thing with walking birds.
I hate walking birds, especially geese.
Yeah.
And I hate them with a passion that is unparalleled to anything else in my life. However, I don't want to see them mistreated this way. I want to see them mistreated in other more specific ways. Like being demeaned in front of their wives and children.
Cliff, you're...
I have. It tastes like baby vomit. Which is not as unethical as you think either.
Oh. Well, you're using all the parts of the baby.
It's another Indian joke.
Not really.
All right, sticking with animal news for a moment, panel. Another of nature's creatures has turned the tables on its oppressors. Can you tell me, for a point, which animals have begun to take their revenge on Europeans this week?
The British.
It's whales. It's orcas.
You are correct for the point, Chris Siddiqui. Yeah. It is killer whales or orcas. What have orcas taken to doing that is aggravating the Spanish?
It's called the swimming of the Spaniards. It's like the running of the bulls, but different.
Is it because they're pronounced? Are they pronouncing the C in Barcelona like a TH?
We are orthas. Call us orthas.
Orthas. They're calling themselves orthas to make fun of people.
That's right.
That is a good guess, but no. Chris, you know, right?
Yeah, I know. They're attacking boats.
The headline from The Telegraph reads, killer whales learn to sink yachts off Gibraltar.
Yeah.
Killer whales have... they have damaged dozens of boats in the Iberian Peninsula by ramming into their rudders. They've sunk a number of sailboats. The whales are apparently teaching each other to take turns ramming the rudders until the boats sink.
Love it. I'm on Team Orca.
Why do experts posit that the orcas have begun to attack boats?
It's easier to drown Spaniards when you get them out of the boats.
True.
Apparently, they posit that one whale was traumatized after it was hit by a boat and then taught her calves and the other orcas to attack the rudders on the boats.
Wicked.
So it wouldn't happen again. The article says the whales are, quote, hell-bent on revenge.
Oh, my, this is great.
As well they should be.
That whale needs therapy.
The revenge theory is the dominant theory, but there is another one. According to CNN, what other reason do some experts think orcas have been attacking boats for?
They're invested heavily in the airline industry.
Is it not? They're curious? They're curious and playful creatures?
I just want to hug all the time and just give a little kiss on their whale nose?
Not exactly. I don't know. Just save a whale, club a seal. Just enjoy it out on the ocean.
They actually think it could possibly just be a fad.
Oh, like they're just like jelly shoes in the 80s.
Yeah. Yeah, because apparently whales and orcas actually participate in fad behavior, where one whale behaves in a novel way, and then the other whales think it's cool and mimic it.
Sinking yachts is a whale's TikTok.
I love this.
So for a point, can you guess what other behavior did an expert offer as an example of a whale fad?
Punk rock in the 70s.
Just a fad. It's in the 90s when they made a bunch of movies where orcas would jump over little white boys on jetties. That was a fad.
It was indeed, but the correct answer is there was a time when a group of whales briefly started wearing dead salmon on their heads.
Oh, yeah!
Just for fun and fashion.
Like how we all wore fascinators after the royal wedding.
Yeah, right. There it is.
I saw that last year at Indigenous Fashion Arts.
Wow.
And the orcas really adopted it. But that was a long time ago. Now salmon on the head is super cringe. And what is slay is to sink a yacht.
Yeah.
Guess what, panel? Somehow we have reached the end of another exciting episode of Because News.
Oh, my goodness.
Wow, we did it, everyone.
Our champion this week is... Well, it is Chris Siddiqui. Congratulations, Chris. You have the honor of reading our credits.
Oh, I won.
I am Gavin Crawford, and I think we need to wrap this up and get out of here because apparently there are some pissed off orcas downstairs and they have just figured out how elevators work. So we will see you next time. Why? Thank you so much for being here. Give it up for Cliff Cardinal.
What's up, Canada? It's me, Chris Siddiqui, winner of Because News again. Congratulations to my runners-up, Jan Caruana and Cliff Cardinal. Because News is written and produced by Elizabeth Bowie, David Carroll, Gavin Crawford, Phil Lung, and Jessica Gould. This week, they had help from Miguel Rives and John Blair. Rounding out the team is Aaron Conway, Bronwyn Page, Errol Gonzalez, and our recording engineer, Paul Hodge.
For more CBC podcasts, go to cbc.ca/podcasts.